Before we start, I always wanted to do this. I've never been a president, but Minchas at 2 o'clock, Marv's at 9:10, and Shabbos ends at 9:20. Fine. Okay. Fine. Okay, so we're moving on to our last Shir Meretz Hashem on Malachas Kotzer. So today we're finishing up Kotzer. Tomorrow we're going to move over to Ma'amer, which is going to be one day Malacha, and then Thursday we start Dash. Fine. So Thursday we set down our basic working definition for Kotzer. We saw that the basic definition of Kotzer is to disconnect something from its source of growth. Oker Davar Migidula was the catchphrase of Kotzer, which we translated as disconnecting something from its source of growth. If you have a plant that's growing and you cut it, so that's you're disconnecting it from the ground. That's Kotzer. Today we're going to round out the Malacha by discussing two qualifications to Malacha's Kotzer, two types of scenarios where we may permit certain acts of cutting. So that's the agenda for today. I'm probably not going to do the halacha lamaisa on Kotzer just because it's really technical and it's not lamaisa, and the bottom line is just don't cut things. But I guess we can discuss. Fine. So let's start with qualification number one. Our first qualification revolves around our Gemara here on Ayin Gimel Amabeis. Gemara here brings Rav Kahano, who tells us the following din. Rav Kahano says that if a person prunes on Shabbos, he's zomer on Shabbos, so you can violate two separate malachas. First of all, you're going to violate the malacha of Zoraya, call it Zoraya. The Gemara says Noteya, but it's a form of Zoraya, because you're promoting plant growth. That's the one malacha. And additionally, says Rav Kahana, if you're zomer b'tzarech le'etzim and you want the wood, you're also going to violate malachas kotzer, that since you're cutting the wood from its source of growth, you're going to violate kotzer as well. That's the halacha of Rav Kahana. Now, the big question that comes up in the sugya is this additional detail that Rav Kahana points out. When he expresses this halacha, he says, zomer b'tzarech le'etzim, that you're cutting in order to acquire the wood. In that situation, you violate these two malachas. And the question becomes, why did he have to add that extra detail of tzarech le'etzim? Who cares if you want the wood or not? Even if you don't want the wood, you're still doing an act that should violate both malachas. If I'm zomer and I plan on discarding the wood, I'm still doing the malach of zoreya, I'm promoting plant growth. And additionally, even if I plan on discarding the wood, I'm still cutting this wood from its source of growth. It should be an act of malachas kotzer. So why did he say zomer b'tzarech le'etzim? That's the kasha on the sugi here. So we're going to have three basic shittos in the Rishonim for how to explain this halacha. Shita number one is the shita of Tosas Rid. Shita number two is Tosas Moy Katan. And our third shita is going to be Tosas here in Shabbos on Ayin Gimel Amaveis. Three basic approaches how to explain this detail in this Gemara. Fine. So let's start with the Tosas Rid. The Tosas Rid says that there's really no intrinsic requirement to want the item being cut in order to violate kotzer. In principle, anytime you cut something, it's kotzer. Why did Rav Kahana add this detail of tzarech le'etzim that you have to want the wood to be chayiv? Says the Tosas Rid, it's for a peripheral issue of malacha shenetzricha legufa. As many of us know, so there's a big time machlokes tanoim as to if purpose is critical when it comes to performing malacha on Shabbos, the issue of enetzricha legufa. Rabbi Huda's shita is that we don't care about your motivation and your purpose when you perform a malacha, as long as you do the ma'isa malacha. As long as you satisfy the definition of the malacha, the purpose is inconsequential. You're going to be chayiv no matter what. That's the shita of Rabbi Huda, that enetzricha legufa is chayiv. Rabbi Shimon introduces the idea of purpose. According to Rabbi Shimon, to be chayiv on Shabbos, aside from doing the ma'isa malacha, you also have to have the right motivation, the right purpose in order to be chayiv. Each malacha has their own defined purpose, and if you don't do it for the tricha legufa purposes, for its defined purpose, you're going to be pater. That's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Says the Tosas Rid, the reason Rav Kahan and Ar Gemara threw in this extra detail is to take into account Shitas Rav Shimon for this external issue of Enin Tzrich Lagufa. Because what's the defined purpose by Malachas Kotzer? What has to be your motivation according to Rav Shimon to be Chayiv? It has to be cutting for acquisition. You need to cut to acquire. That's the Tzrich Lagufa of Kotzer. Like in the Mishkan, when they cut the herbs or the wheat, whatever they were cutting there, they cut in order to process it, in order to acquire it. That becomes the purpose of Malachas Kotzer. For any other purpose, you're not satisfying the requirement of Tzrich Lagufa. So that's why Rav Kahana threw this in, because if you didn't do it to acquire, it would have been Ein Tzrich Lagufa, and according to Rav Shimon, it would have been Pater. According to Rav Yehuda, you'd be Chayiv, because Rav Yehuda doesn't care about your purpose. According to Rav Shimon, you would be Pater. So that is Shita number one. the Shita that Tosis read, that this requirement for Tzorach L'Eitzim is just a peripheral need. It's not there for intrinsic purposes. Fine. Let's move over now to the second Shita, which is the Shita of Tosfos in Moikaten. The Eglei Tal points out that Tosfos in Moikaten is having a very different approach to how to explain this extra detail in this Gemara. So let me just say over the words of the Tosfos, and then we'll point out the extraction of the Eglei Tal. Tosfos there says that the Rav Kana's statement comes up in that Gemara on Beis and Beis, so that's why we have a corollary sugya there. So Tosfos there, Moikaten, is addressing why did Rav Kana throw in this need for Tzarech La'itzim? Answer is, says Tosfos, because otherwise it's not comparable to Kotzer. Kotzer is always cutting to use. You're cutting it for food. You're cutting it for refuah purposes. That's the premise of Melachas Kotzer. If you're cutting for some other purpose, says Tosfos, it's not comparable to Kotzer, and you're going to be potter. So those are the words of Tosfos in Moikaten. So comes along the Eglei Tal, and he's medayik, that Tosfos has a very different understanding of this requirement than the Tosfos read. According to Tosfos Moikaten, this isn't just a peripheral requirement for Enes Rich LaGufa. Rav Kana wasn't just saying this for the Shita of Rav Shimon. Rav Kana was saying this because this goes into the very definition of Melechus Kotzer. Kotzer, by definition, has to be cutting to acquire. If you're not cutting to acquire, it's not defined as Melechus Kotzer. And so, according to Tosfos Moikaten, it would come out that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree to this halacha. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who says that typically we don't care about your motivation, typically as long as you just do the ma'aseh melacha, you're going to be chayiv. Even Rabbi Yehuda will agree in this situation, the kavanas hagavra is critical because it goes into the definition of the melacha. If you cut vegetation and you don't plan on acquiring, you don't plan on using it, it's not defined as melachas kotzer, so even Rabbi Yehuda would agree to this halacha. So that is shita number two, Tosfos in Moikaten, that we have this new integral requirement in Kotzer for Kavanas Agavra to acquire in order to be Chayiv. Yeah.
So according to Rabbi Yehuda, says Malacha Shem's Rich LaGufa is Chayiv, where would he ever say that there's a Malacha that doesn't need the Kavana in order to be Chayiv?
Most Malachas are self-defined without Kavana, by Choresh. If I plow, whatever my Kavana is, it's a Maisa of Harisha. It's a Maisa Malacha. Now, there's a certain purpose. Rabbi Shimon says you have to do it for the purpose of improving the ground. Rabbi Yehuda says your purpose doesn't matter. That's all the purpose. But the ma'aseh malacha is just plowing. So whatever your kavana is, you're doing the malacha. But that's true by most of the malachas. By Kotzer, we're having this chiddush that apparently the kavana, according to Tosfos and Moikaten, goes into the definition of the malacha, such that if you don't have the kavana, it's not called the ma'aseh malacha. It's not called plowing without kavana. It's not called Kotzer, so to speak. It's called not plowing, so to speak. That's exactly what we have to analyze. 100%. Good. Fine. Yeah. Very good questions. It would seem to come out that in Shri Chagufa is not playing out by Kotzer, because when you're lacking in the Kavana, it's not a Malacha. So that's a very, very good point. Okay. Our third Shita is the Shita of Tosfos in Shabbos. The Nishmas Adam makes a beautiful Diyuk in Tosfos in Shabbos that he's going to have actually a third approach. So I'll set you up. Let's see if someone could just quickly chap the diak. So just to set you up, if you look at Tosfos and Shabbos and you take a cursory glance, it sounds like he's saying exactly the same thing as Tosfos and Moikaten, that there is an intrinsic requirement in Kotzer, that in order to violate Kotzer, you need to have Kavanah to acquire. And so even Rabbi Yehuda would agree to this halacha. Rabbi Kana threw this in because this is integral to Kotzer. Kotzer needs Kavanah to acquire. And so even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if you don't have this Kavanah to acquire, you're going to be potter. That's the basic setup of Tosfos. But there's a beautiful diuk of the Nishmas Adam to turn this sheet of Tosfos into a variation on Tosfos Moikaten to be saying something a little bit different. Anyone see the critical line in Tosfos that would set this up? Can you give a shot, Miles? Just take a quick look at Tosfos. See if you can be medayik now that I set you up. In the first few lines. Yes, that's exactly the idea. Beautiful. Excellent. If you read Tosfos very carefully, as Max just did, his lashon is lo mikri be'etzim kotzer ela binyan zeh, that when it comes to wood, it's not called kotzer unless you have kavana to acquire. So the Nishmas Adam is medayik from Tosfos that he's going to have a third approach. Tosfos' shita is, when it comes to chopping wood, then you need to have kavana to acquire to violate melachas kotzer. If you chop the wood, you're cutting vines and you're cutting the wood, you do not have kavana to acquire, it's not kotzer at all, even Rabbi Yehuda agree that it's mutter. But by other forms of vegetation, we don't have this requirement. By other forms of vegetation, cutting is chayav no matter what, irrespective of the kavana. So that is the diak of the Nishmas Adam. He was authored by the Chai Adam. In Tosas, he says, Lomikra be'etzem kotzer, that when it comes to etzem, to be called kotzer, you have to have kavana to acquire. But by other forms of vegetation, there is no such kavana. So taking a step back, now we have three basic shittos, and we're showing him how to explain this detail of Rav Kahana. When Rav Kahana wanted to teach me that you're chayav for zoraya and kotzer in pruning, why do you throw in that detail that you're tzorach le'etzem, that you want the wood? Even if you don't want the wood, aren't you still doing an act of kotzer? Three shittas. Shita number one, Tosas Rid says that you're right. In principle, it's not necessary. It was a peripheral requirement of Ein Tzrich L'Gufo, according to Reb Shimon. But according to Reb Yehuda, it wouldn't be necessary. That's shita number one. Shita two, Tosas Ma'ikotan is saying that it's integral to the definition of kotzer. The kotzer apparently needs kavana. If you don't have kavana to acquire, it's not called kotzer. Even Reb Yehuda would say it's not called kotzer. And Tosas Ma'ikotan is mashma, it's by all vegetation. He doesn't limit it to wood. He's mashma that by any type of vegetation you cut, you always need kavana to acquire to violate kotzer, otherwise it's not going to be malach of kotzer. And our third sheet is Tosas and Shabbos, who says that you need kavana to acquire dafka by wood. By etzim, you need to be cutting it to acquire. By other forms of vegetation, there is no such requirement. Fine. Now, before we start the conceptual analysis, the Nishmas Adam makes a very beautiful diak in the Gemara to support our third sheet. See, the third shita is certainly the weirdest shita. I feel like I could see Hananiah furrow, you know, his eyebrows furrowing here on this third shita here. This third shita is making this weird chilek between wood versus other forms of vegetation. You know, by wood, you need to have kavanah to acquire, but by other things, you don't need kavanah to acquire. That certainly would seem to be the strangest shita. So where did Tosas come up with this idea from that we should have this distinction? Says in the Nishmas Adam, it's from a very beautiful reading, a very strict reading of the Gemara itself. So pulling out the packets again, anyone now want to take 60 seconds, read the Gemara from the Marmakomas again, and see if you can now pick up on the diak of the Nishmas Adam to support the third shita.
Because Katalas Paska and Karasoka, it doesn't necessarily mention that you need...
Excellent. Plus five, Max. Plus five. Okay, good. We got our Saxon Shears coming back to the Shmabit, so we're head-to-head here. Good, beautiful. That's exactly the diak. So let's just spell it out. If you go through the Gemara brings three cases in succession where they're all models of this idea where you're doing one act of cutting and violating both Zoraya and Kotzer. Three scenarios where you're cutting something and you're violating Zoraya and Kotzer at the same time. The first case is Rav Kahana's case where you're cutting the wood, you're pruning the trees, and in that situation you violate Zoraya and Kotzer, you're promoting the plant growth, you're also cutting the wood, two malachas at the same time. The second case is the case of aspasta. Rav Yosef says when you cut aspasta, again, this type of plant, when you cut it, first of all, you stimulate its growth. So since you're stimulating its growth, you violate Zoraya. And second of all, since you're cutting, so you violate Kotzer as well. And then the third case is the case of Abaye by the Silka. Abaye says that when you cut the beets, so once again, two malachas, cutting the beets stimulates its growth, it grows back, so that's Zoraya. And second of all, you're cutting it, so that violates Kotzer as well. But as Max pointed out, only in the first case is the added detail of Tzarech Le'etzim mentioned. When it comes to cutting the wood, in that situation, the Gemara says, Zomer v'Tzarech Le'etzim. You're cutting it, and you want the wood. That's how Rav Kahana presents case number one. In cases two and three, Rav Yosef and Abaye don't mention that requirement. Rav Yosef just says, cutting aspasta has two requirements, has two malachos. He doesn't say, you're cutting the aspasta, and you want the aspasta. Abaye, by the silka, doesn't say, you're cutting the silka, and you want the silka. So the Gemara left out that detail in the last two cases. Says the Nishmas Adam, this is exactly where Tosas got his strange shita from. He got a shita from a strict reading of the Gemara. Gemara says, Tzarech le'etzim by the wood. It doesn't say it in the case of aspasta, in the case of the silka. So Tosas came to the conclusion, dafka by wood, do we have this requirement? By other forms of vegetation, we don't have this requirement. Now, how are our first two Rishonim going to read this Gemara that Tosas read? Tosas and Ma'ikotin, what are they going to do with this Gemara? They're going to have to say, Lav Dafka, Derenachanami. Rav Kahana spelled it out in case number one, but it's necessary in cases two and three as well. In the case of the silka, in the case of aspasta, so there too, the Gemara didn't mention it, but you have to be cutting to acquire as well, because you always have this requirement to cut to acquire. And that's exactly why I put the Mi'iri on the Marmakomos. The Mi'iri spells this out. That's you have to chap the diak and tosas and Shabbos to chap what the Mi'iri was doing, but the Mi'iri spells this out that in the last two cases as well, you have to have kavana to acquire. So he's interpolating that detail that although the Gemara didn't spell it out, Gemara really meant it, that you need to have kavana to acquire in all forms of vegetation. But that certainly is lav dafking the Gemara, and we can now appreciate where our third sheet is coming from. A very rigid reader of the Gemara says, no, don't lav dafka the Gemara, dafka by wood, not by other forms of vegetation. So that's just a derivational issue, just a literary issue to lend support to our third shita. And now let's start the conceptual analysis. Okay. Any last second questions? I think we're good. Okay. Okay, so we have some Talmidim of Rav Safir here. Did Rav Safir ever teach you guys how to analyze a three-way machlokas? Did he ever do this one? Yeah? No? I'm going to have to email him. What is that?
He has WhatsApp now.
Okay, I don't have WhatsApp, though. I'm old-fashioned. Okay, fine. Today, so Bizu was taking an Uber. So I remember exactly where I was a few years ago. Quite a significant time after the Uber was invented that someone told me they were taking an Uber, and I quoted the sugi here in Kotzer, we're about to have Medalal Uber in part two of today's shir. So I thought it was a fetus. I'm a little old-fashioned. Okay. Whatever. Rav Parnas used to drill this into us on a regular basis, that there's a certain methodology to break down a three-way machlokes if you want to learn how to conceptualize it properly. Typically speaking, Rav Parnas used to point out, whenever you have a three-way machlokes, so you usually have two shitas that are on opposite extremes, extreme opposites, and then you have a third shita that's somewhere in the middle. Like, for example, in this machlokas, so we have the Tosas Rid and Tosas Maikotan are taking polar opposite approaches to Kotzer. Tosas Rid is saying that there's no intrinsic requirement for Kavana, ever, whereas Tosas Maikotan is saying that there's always a requirement for Kavana in all forms of vegetation. So those are polar opposites. When it comes to Tosas and Shabbos, so he's taking a middle-of-the-road approach that by wood, you need Kavana, by other vegetation, you don't need Kavana. So Rav Parnas used to tell us on a regular basis that when you have this type of machlokas, you always have to analyze it in two stages. You first start with the machlokas of the extremes. You take the two shitas on the extremes, and you try to figure out the point of contention. Once you do that, you move over to the third approach, and you try to analyze the third shita. And usually you'll find that the third shita is some type of variation on one of the first two shitas. So that's the methodology for analyzing three of machlokas. So let's do that together right now. So let's start with stage one. Let's leave aside Tosas and Shabbos, and just analyze our first two shitas. Tosas Rid versus Tosas Maikotan are having this polar opposite machlokas. Do we care about Kavana when it comes to Kotzer? Tosas Rid is saying we never care about the Kavana, whereas Tosas Maikotan is saying we always care about the Kavana. You always need Kavana to acquire, to be defined as an act of Kotzer. What is the Hesver in that machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the two shitos in this machlokas? So Hananya already hit the nail on the head with this issue, but let me just elaborate upon what he meant to say. And the issue is like this. This is going to get into classic definitional analysis. In order to understand this machlokas, we now need to use definitional analysis. We need to be choker into the definition of kotzer. As Hananya had said, you know, we have a rule of oker davar migidulo. So we need to define oker davar migidulo and develop a chakira to explain this machlokas. That's what we need to do to figure out. We need to define oker davar migidulo in one way, where we're not going to care about Kavana, and define it in another way where we are going to care about Kavana. That's the Chakira that we need to develop. So we already developed a working definition on Thursday, so let's start with that definition and then assess if that definition is going to be sufficient. On Thursday, we set down the basic definition was to disconnect. The coach is defined as an act of disconnecting something from its source of growth. That was our working definition on Thursday. If we maintain that definition without any modification, so what would we say about Kavana? Should Kavana matter? Should Kavana not matter? If I cut something and I don't want the item being cut, am I satisfying the definition of Kotzer? Am I not satisfying the definition of Kotzer? Yeah. I am, right? Who cares? If I cut something and I plan on discarding it, I'm still disconnecting it. If the definition of Kotzer is disconnecting something from a source of growth, which I think this is what Hanani was pointing out, the need for Kavana makes absolutely no sense. There should be no reason why you need to want to acquire in order to violate Kotzer. So this is going to be the Shita of the Tosas Rid. The Tosas Rid is going to be maintaining our basic definition that we set down. Kotzer is to disconnect. If Kotzer is defined as disconnecting, it's not going to matter what your Kavana is. Anytime you cut something, you're doing a mice of Kotzer. You're always disconnecting, whether I'm discarding, whether I'm acquiring, I'm disconnecting something from its source of growth. That is going to be the Shita of the Tosas Rid. If we see a Gemara mentioning Kavana, so that's just a peripheral requirement by all malachos of Triach LaGufa, but that's not integral to the definition of Kotzer. In terms of Kotzer itself, we're satisfying this definition, and so even Rabbi Huda would agree to this halacha, your chayiv, in this situation. So that's the shita of the Tosas Red. Okay. Moving over to the shita of Tosas Maikata now. Tosas Maikatan is now telling us that Kavana is integral to Kotzer. That Kotzer is apparently going to have to be defined in a way where you're cutting to acquire. If you're not cutting to acquire, it's not defined as an act of Kotzer. So we now need to set down a new definition of Kotzer according to Tosas Maikatan, which will integrate the Kavana into the definition of the Malach. We need to define Kotzer in a way where it's defined as cutting to acquire in order to account for the fact that if you don't have Kavana to acquire, you're not violating the malacha of Kotzer. So can anyone now give us a new definition to Kotzer, which will account for the fact that you have to have Kavana in order to acquire? What's the sheet that Tosas might cut then?
It has nothing to do with Oker Dabar Magdulo.
But it's hard to say that, because...
No, you're being Oker for something else. He says it for Refuhr for Michael.
Right, so...
It's not being Oker Dabar Magdulo, it's for... What are your being Kotzer for a specific purpose.
You're right, so when we say Oker Dabar Magdulo, Quintosis, it can't be disconnecting. We're going to have to frame it a little differently. You're absolutely correct. It's not taking the strict sense of the word. But we need to set down a new definition of Kotzer now to account for cutting to acquire. So what's the yisod of Kotzer according to Tosos?
What the end result will be.
So what's the definition?
It's cutting for a purpose.
What is that?
It's a pop.
Do you want the 21st finger?
Cutting could be confused for
an
destructive
act. Okay, so what's the definition of Kotzer?
I thought if it's just Kotzer, it's cutting something off. Without Kavana, it seems more like a kilkul. So what he's really saying, Tosas Maikatan is really saying, it's not, you have to have Kavana because by malachas, they have to be productive. It has to be, I'm doing a productive time.
Good. You're right.
Creating something.
Good, but what's
if I cut something from the ground, it's...
Fine. So define the malachas. So what's the definition of the malacha?
It's you're moving it...
One word. So one word.
Harvesting.
Yes. So the word harvesting is correct, but Reparnas liked the word reaping. He thought harvesting was too broad a term. Harvesting includes ma'amer, if you really follow the definition. So Reparnas used the word reaping. Reparnas said that the Tosas Maikatan is holding that the definition of kotzer is reaping. That's the definition of kotzer. I hope you guys know what reaping means. Otherwise, you'll have to open up a dictionary. But you picture this grim guy with a sickle, you know? He's not so happy, I guess, because the fireworks kept him up last night. So reaping means cutting to acquire. It's a form of harvesting. Isaiah, you hit the nail on the head. The first Mar Mekomos we were handling this issue of the definition of Kotzer. So Rapana said, Tosas Maikatan holds Kotzer is reaping. That's the definition of Kotzer. If you follow that definition, so by definition, reaping or harvesting means cutting to acquire. If you cut to discard, that's not called reaping, it's not called harvesting, as Max had put it. If I cut something, I plan on discarding it, that doesn't fit the definition of reaping, that's not a malacha. So by definition, kotzer is defined in a way where you always have to have kavana to acquire. The malacha itself is defined as reaping. Reaping means cutting to acquire, otherwise it's not a malacha. So that is all the analysis, the first two shitos in this machlokes. We're being choker into the fundamental definition of kotzer. Is kotzer disconnecting? Is kotzer reaping? The English books are not sensitive to this issue, so they just throw all the terms at you. You'll have some English books use the word harvesting for the chapter on kotzer, or reaping, or cutting. But it's really, Aparna said, it's really a chakira in Tosas and the Tosas Rid versus Tosas Maikatan, whether it's disconnecting or cutting versus reaping. Fine. Let's move on now to the third shita, which is Tosas in Shabbos. So Tosas in Shabbos is now making a split. He's telling us that on the one hand, when it comes to the chopping wood, so then we do care about Kavana. When it comes to other forms of vegetation, we don't care about Kavana. And now the question becomes, Mamanavshach, what is the Tosas and, what is the concept behind Tosas and Shabbos that warrants this distinction? Which definition are you going to work with? If you want to work with the definition of disconnecting, then anytime you cut something, you're always disconnecting, irrespective of your Kavana. So then we should never care about Kavana, even by wood. Whenever I chop wood or anything, I'm disconnecting. So you should violate Kotzer, irrespective of your Kavana. If you want to tell me you're going to work with reaping or harvesting, well, then you should always care about kavana. In order to be defined as reaping, reaping means cutting to acquire. And so if you're not cutting to acquire, you're not doing kotzer. So then you should need kavana even by other forms of vegetation. What is the sheet of Tosfos in Shabbos such that Tosfos in Shabbos is making this distinction that dafka by wood you need kavana, but not other forms of vegetation? Okay, this is a really hard one. Anyone want to give it a shot? I don't think you're going to get this one. Go for it.
Wood specifically, usually you're doing it to acquire anyway, because...
But what if I don't do it to acquire? I'm pruning and I'm going to throw it out.
In every way you would be doing it to acquire, because it would also be for growth, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to acquire the wood. I'm cutting the wood and I'm planning on discarding it. So why is that not called kotzer? Ellie number two.
Not every wood that you pick are you planning to use for firewood? But you usually won't pick a fruit if you don't plan on eating it.
But let's say wood, by zomer. What if I'm zomer, and typically when people prune, they don't plan on using the wood. They just leave it on the ground, they throw it out. Why is that not kotzer? What is it about wood that's distinguishing?
It has to do with benefit, meaning when it comes to asfasta, are you telling me that actually has a use?
It's not alive? Well, it's in the ground. The tree huggers would not be happy with you.
When it comes to asfasta, that has a use, meaning in terms of like michael, you can use it for like hema, like meaning the wood that you're cutting off the branches, all of them have a benefit in terms of the what you're trying to
but
achieve.
By here?
But the wood serves no purpose besides...
Besides what?
Besides for the fact of helping the geffen grow. But the
asfasta so it's close to what the egg vital says, but he like takes it off into outer space. So let's just build on what Yosef was saying. Yoko. okay, so the egg vital says something that's very sophisticated. I'll do my best to say it over, but it might need a shtickle chazar on this one. He says like this. Tosis and Shabbos is going to work with which definition is going to work with? Which definition? Disconnecting or reaping? Exactly. He's going to go with disconnecting. If you say reaping, then you always need kavanah, so you're done. So Tosfos in Shabbos is going to be saying disconnecting. That kotzer is defined as disconnecting. So typically we don't care about kavana. That by most forms of vegetation, you cut it. Even without kavana, you're disconnecting. You've satisfied the definition of kotzer. So that's the starting point. So he's going to be a variation on the Tosfos Rid, actually. That typically speaking, we don't care about kavana because it's disconnecting. But the Egg Vital says, and this is a very profound idea, that there's going to be a special consideration when it comes to a tree. That when it comes to a tree, there's a certain way of looking at a tree which is going to force Tosfos to take into account the Kavanas Agavra to define this as an act of kotzer. And this now gets into a mechanical chakira, how to assess a tree in Hilchas Kotzer. How should we assess a tree in Hilchas Kotzer? Now, if you look at a tree from the perspective of the Metzias Shabo, so a tree is just vegetation like all other, it's growing from the ground, why shouldn't it be subject to Melachas Kotzer? But the Egg Vital says we shouldn't look at a tree from the perspective of the Metzias, we should look at a tree from the perspective of the functionality. What's the function of a tree? Says the Egg Vital, the function of a tree is to produce fruit. That's the real role of a tree, is to produce fruit. It's not intrinsically significant, min hastam. Therefore, the Egg Vital says, in a certain sense, a tree is really, could be viewed as batel to the ground. The tree itself is really just subordinate to the ground. It's an extension of the ground because it's not intrinsically significant. The tree is just the hechi timsa. It's a medium to produce the fruit. The tree is not really the end product. The end product is the fruit. And so in a certain sense, the tree is batel to the ground. That's the starting point of the Egg Vital. We should assess the tree from the perspective of its function. And if you look at it from its function, it's just a medium to produce the fruit. The real product is the fruit. The tree is not really the product. Therefore, we're going to say like this. When you cut a tree without kavana to acquire, you're cutting a tree, you're planning on discarding. In that situation, you're not going to violate kotzer because kotzer has to be cutting a product of the earth. Kotzer is where you cut a product of the earth, not where you cut the earth itself. If you take out an axe and you start hacking away at the earth, that's not kotzer. Kotzer is where you cut a product of the earth. Says the Egg Vital, minastam, a tree is just part of the earth itself. It's not intrinsically significant. It's not the end product. It's just the medium to produce the fruit. So when you cut a tree, it's like you're hacking away at the earth. You're not going to violate kotzer. But, says the Egg Vital, let's say you decide that you want the wood. I'm cutting this tree in order to acquire the wood. In that situation, you've just changed our perspective of the tree. The tree is no longer a means, now it's an ends. Now the tree becomes a product, because you're ascribing significance to the Guf HaIlan. You're now ascribing significance to the wood. You're now saying that this is a product. So when you cut in order to acquire, the wood now becomes a product, and therefore it's subject to Mulachetz Kotzer. So that is the analysis of the Egletal. The Egletal says that Tosis is assessing a tree from the perspective of its functionality. The function of a tree is to produce the fruit. So in a certain sense, min hastam, the tree is just an extension of the ground. It's buttled to the ground. And when you cut a tree, you're just hacking away at the earth. However, when you have kavana to acquire, you're ascribing significance to the tree, then it becomes a product, and mamela, you're over kotzer. Now, just to swing it back, so what's the Tosis written? Tosis, my cutting going to hold? They're going to hold. We don't assess a tree based on its functionality. We assess it based on the metzias. The metzias is it's a piece of vegetation, and so a tree is always subject to malachas kotzer. So with that, we've concluded part one of today's shir. So let's just quickly summarize, and then we'll take the questions. We're setting down our first qualification to kotzer is the need for kavana. We're observing in this gemara that in some way or form, Rav Kahana is telling us you need to be zomer b'tzorach le'edzim to violate kotzer. Three shittos, where is this requirement coming from? Tosis Rid is saying it's really just a peripheral need for enshrich l'gufo, but according to Bihudo, it's not necessary. Tosis Makotin is saying you always need kavana to be defined as kotzer. And our third sheet is Tosis and Shabbos splits by wood you need kavana, by other things you don't need kavana. And we pointed out the diak of the Nishmas Adam, where's this third sheet coming from? Says the Nishmas Adam, a very strict reading of the Gemara itself, that by Rav Kahana's case, we threw in Tzarech Le'etzim, but not cases 2 and 3. So that was a very beautiful diak Tosos Shito. And then we did the conceptual analysis. We're trying to break down this machlokes. We started out with the first two extreme shitos. It came down to a hakir. What's the final definition of oker davar migidula of kotzer? Tosis Rid says it's disconnecting. The Tosis in Moikotin is saying it's reaping. That's that machlokes. And then the third shita was the Tosis in Shabbos had this variation that it's really disconnecting. That's the starting point. There's going to be a variation on Tosis Rid. But there's a special consideration of a tree. We don't look at a tree in Metzias. We look at a tree based on its functionality. Its function is to produce the fruit. So the tree is really just buttled to the ground, unless you want the wood. Then you're turning it into a product, in which case you're going to be chayv. Yeah.
So according to the Egletal, any plant that has an end product should always have two studding to it. If I want to cut down a tomato, whatever they're called, plant, there should be a side of, am I doing it for whatever other reason besides for the fruit?
Okay, so just to reformulate what you're saying, 100%, we're definitely opening up a Pandora's box. So we're saying that the role of a tree is to produce the fruit. Well, what if you have a tree that's not a fruit-bearing tree? What if I have a tree that doesn't have fruit on it? Or a tomato tree that didn't quite have enough sunlight? You know, so the Egletal says explicitly at 100%. According to this analysis, it would have to be by a fruit-bearing tree. By a non-fruit-bearing tree, maybe we would call it a product even from the get-go.
No, but I'm saying something that's not a tree but has
a product. Yeah, so in Echnami, so it plug in the analysis. So if it would fit this specification, maybe you would need kavana to acquire as well. Yes.
So you're saying it like a bush or a vine.
Exactly.
Would still.
May not need it, depending on if it has fruit or not, says the Egletal.
Assuming it has, a grapevine.
So if it has grapes, then it might be bottled to the ground. Exactly. Yeah.
Silka,
meaning cutting beets. So when I'm cutting the beets. So the case is the silica itself. It doesn't say you're cutting the core part of the. We'll have to Google this one. But you're cutting the beets off. So the beets are a product. Even if you don't have kavana, you're chayv.
That was not actually
right. The beets are part of some type. We'll have to Google this one. But whatever they are, they're part of some type of device here, and you're cutting off the beets. So yeah.
So based on the Egletal.
Mm-hmm.
When does that, when you plant it, when you cut,
he's saying the stam das of how to look at a tree. He's saying a tree, objectively, is a fruit-bearing tree is meant to be a means to provide the fruit. If society changes and they decide that they don't want the fruit anymore, I don't know, but...
So you specifically plant cherry trees because you want the cherry wood?
It's hard to go subjective on this. If society is machsha the cherry wood, it might be different, but typically speaking, a stam fruit-bearing tree is meant to produce the fruit. Yeah.
In the way that the fruit is, so even if you cut it without kavana, then why does it not matter that you're still disconnecting it from the ground? Yeah, it's
So what he's saying is that, you're right, good. That's what you're supposed to be asking. Isn't it disconnecting? Mm-hmm. Answer is, it's not called disconnecting, it's called cutting up the ground. If I chop the ground, am I disconnecting the ground from itself? I'm just chopping the ground. The tree is bottled to the ground. It's not called disconnecting. That's another way of framing it. Okay. I mean, if you do it, if it's benefiting the tree, that could be chorish. If you're being miyapa the karka, if you're improving the tree, that could be chorish. But we're not kotzer. And it depends on if you're improving. Fine. So let's move over now to qualification number two. Our second qualification begins with the Gemara at the bottom of Kuf Zayin Mubeis. Gemara there brings Bar Hamduri Amr Shmuel, who tells us that let's say you have a pregnant animal, and you stick your hands into its womb, and you dislocate the embryo. Your medal del uber b'mei imo, you dislocate this animal embryo, says Shmuel, you're going to be chayiv. This is aser de'araisa. We'll make this the new lab now that we're back in person next year, right? Dislocating embryos during the weekday. Fine. So that's the halacha of Shmuel, you're chayiv. Which malacha do you violate? So the Gemara brings Rav, who says that you're going to violate Oker Dover Migidulo. Because, listen, didn't Rav Sheshes tell us that if you have some type of vegetation growing on shrubs, and you remove this upper vegetation, you cut off the upper vegetation, that's Oker Dover Migidulo. So too, says Rava, in this case as well, when I dislocate the embryo, I'm Oker Dover Migidulo, that should violate, that's the malacha in this situation. So those are the words of the Gemara here on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. And the question is, so which malacha are you violating? What is the malacha being violated when you dislocate this embryo, when you're medal del uber b'mei imo? So we have on this a major machlokas in the Mefarshim between the Ramban and the Ritva on the one hand versus the Tiferes Yisrael and possibly Rashi on the other hand. Two basic approaches. There are a lot more Mefarshim in the mix, but just naming a few, that's the machlokas. So let's go through the two shitas. Starting with the shita of the Ramban. So the Ramban and the Ritva both point out that certainly the Pashup Shat in this Gemara is that you're violating the Malacha of Kotzer. First of all, the Gemara uses the key catchphrase of Kotzer of Oker Davar Migidula. So it sounds like, listen, I'm disconnecting this embryo from its source of growth and telling me that I violate Malacha's Kotzer. And just as significantly, aside from the key catchphrase of Kotzer, the Gemara compared this to a bona fide case of Kotzer. We compare this to removing vegetation growing on shrubs. That clearly is the malacha of kotzer. If you have vegetation growing on shrubs and you cut off the vegetation, that is no shayla, that is malachas kotzer. So if we're saying that this is oker davar migidulo, just like that's oker davar migidulo, on two accounts, it's very much mashma, we're discussing malachas kotzer. But says the Ramban, we're not discussing malachas kotzer. Although that's the pashup shot, it is incorrect, because we now have our second qualification to kotzer. Kotzer is limited to gidulei karka. Kotzer does not apply to balei chayim, doesn't apply to living beings. It only applies to things that grow up in the ground. And so this could not be malachas kotzer. That is the shita of the Ramban and the Ritva. Which malacha are we violating in this situation? We're violating netilas neshama. Netilas neshama is the malacha of taking life. If you take away life from a living being, so that is the malacha of netilas neshama. Says the Ramban and the Ritva, when I dislocate the embryo, I'm killing this embryo. It's the malacha of netilas neshama. And the Gemara is just making a loose comparison. That just like when I pull off the upper vegetation from the shrubs, although it's getting its yaniko, it's getting its source of nourishment from the shrubs, and I'm pulling it off, that's kotzer. So too, when I pull out the embryo, although it's getting its life force from the mother, when I pull it out, I'm separating it from its mother's life force, that's netilas neshama. So it's just a diluted comparison to similar cases where the thing in and for itself doesn't have a life force. It's getting its life force from something else. Either it's growing on shrubs or it's getting its life force from its mother. And in both cases, when you disconnect it, you violate either kotzer or netilas neshama. But the malacha in this case is not kotzer, it is netilas neshama. Yeah. Yes.
If I were to find a way that it would be Julie Karka, it would be kosher.
If somehow 3D printing has some kind of way of getting an animal to grow from the ground, so then we will have to rehandle the sugya.
If you could figure out a way to call an animal Julie Karka.
So some Achronim asked that question. I know exactly where you're headed. Achronim asked that question, but obviously the Ramban's not saying that. Yeah.
Is the Ramban the Shitas Rambam and how the Rambam learns?
Well, listen, I'm in which case? In our case, with the Uber?
So, the Ramban. He doesn't seem to care the fact that.
In principle, this could have been Malachas Kotzer, but it's not because of Bali Chaim. Why could it be Kotzer? Well, either like the Rambam, they're physically attached, or like the other Rishonim, it's getting Yanika from the mother. So we have both modes of connection.
Is there a bond clash on the fact that it's being yonic from the mother, though?
Probably. He sounds like it.
And separating that yonika has nothing to do with quotes right here.
Well, it should have been, but it's Bali Chaim, so it's excluded. Fine. Moving over to the second Shita. So the second Shita explicitly is written by Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael is a very important commentary in the Mishnayos. And in the beginning of Seder Moed, he has a commentary called the Kupas HaRochlin, and in there there's a commentary on Shabbos called the Kalkela Shabbos, which is very important. And in the Kalkela Shabbos, he says explicitly that Kotzer applies to Bali Chayim, that cutting off any piece of a Bali Chai is subject to Malachas Kotzer. Where does he get this idea from? Says it's Tiferes Yisrael. Shabbos, Kuf Zayinam Abayis. In our Gemara, Kuf Zayinam Abayis, we have the Gemara telling me that there's Oker Dover Migidulo when I pull out this embryo from the mother's womb. So Tiferes Yisrael is taking it kipshuto, that Oker Davar Migidulo means Kotzer. We're comparing it to a case of Kotzer. We're using the catchphrase of Kotzer. It's Malachas Kotzer. And Kotzer is not limited to Gidulei Karka. It applies to Bali Chaim. Listen, I'm disconnecting this from its source of growth, from the mother. So it satisfies the definition of Kotzer. Therefore, that's the Malacha in this situation. Now, Achronim want to be Medayik, that it's not just an Achron that's arguing on the Ramban, but there's a Rishon as well that's arguing on the Ramban, namely Rashi. Did anyone get to the Rashi or pick up a diyuk in Rashi and Sadi Hey, the Rashi will be arguing on the Ramban. Yeah.
Just a side question?
Just a little bit late, so if you don't mind, I just want to try to finish up. Yeah.
The fact that he says that Olev is not Kotzer just because...
Excellent. That's exactly the idea. Good. That's exactly the idea that the Yachbar want to make, that Rashi is arguing on the Ramban. Because as we saw on Thursday, so the... Gemara in Tadihei Ibn Alf tells us, Rabbi Lazar says, there's a chiyuv chatas for milking a cow on Shabbos. Cholev is chayiv for on Shabbos. Which malacha, says the Gemara, mefarik. The malacha you violate for milking a cow is mefarik. Which malacha is mefarik? So this is a major machlokas rishonim as to how to classify mefarik. But focusing on Rashi, Rashi makes a suggestion, maybe it should be malachas kotzer. Listen, the milk developed in the udder. When I remove the milk, I'm removing it from its source of development. Let's call that Oker Davar Migidulo. I'm removing the milk from the source of development. Let that be Malachas Kotzer. So Rashi rejects it, as Gavriel had said, for technical reasons, so to speak, that it doesn't meet the specifications of attachment. There's no Chibur in this case. There needs to be a disconnecting. We need to disconnect from its source of growth. Since the milk is not connected to the udder, you're not disconnecting. This doesn't meet the specifications for Malachas Kotzer. That is Rashi's explanation for why there's no Kotzer. Ask the Achronim, why not give a second, just as viable explanation for why there's no kotzer in this situation? Well, let's say that there's no kotzer because it's not gedulei karka. Listen, a cow is a living being. It's not growing from the ground. So let's say that there's no kotzer because it's not gedulei karka. So the Achronim medayik from here that Rashi is arguing with the Ramban. Rashi holds that kotzer is not limited to gedulei karka. It also applies to living beings. So taking a step back, now we have a machlokas in the Mefarshim, now machlokas Rishonim. What is the scope of Malachas Kotzer? Do we have a new qualification to limit Kotzer to Gedulei Karka? Ramban is saying that we limit Kotzer to Gedulei Karka, and so our Gemara Kuf Zayinam Beis is not discussing Kotzer, it's talking about Netilas Neshama, whereas Rashi and the Tiferes Yisrael are holding that Kotzer does apply to any type of disconnecting from its source of growth, not just Gedulei Karka, also living beings. Yeah.
Why do we have to make a diyuk in Rashi over there when
By the way, the thing on the side, you mean? Well, which case?
In the case of the Uber.
Of the Uber. Mm-hmm.
The Uber, Rashi says that you're chayav b'shem Uber darmigdulo, even though it's not mechubur l'karka.
Is he going in that case or going in the last case with the hizmi?
On the shrubbery case.
He's going on the shrubbery case, yeah.
He's on the shrubbery case.
Okay, fine. So the question becomes, what's the hezber in this machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the shita of the Ramban? What's the conceptual basis for the shita of Rashi and Tiferes Yisrael? So Baruch Hashem, I spent more than a year trying to figure out this machlokas, and I, over Shabbos, I finally figured it out. Fine, it's not going to sound fancy once I say it, but I think it's emes. So it goes like this. I looked at the Ramban on Shabbos. I realized that the Ramban brings a raya to his shita, which we can use to set up this machlokas. So I'll set you up, and I think you guys can have into this chakira. It's a very simple analysis of this machlokas. The Ramban brings a precedent to his shita that kotzer must be limited to gedulei karka and doesn't apply to Bali Chaim from the Malacha of Dash. Dash is in two Malachas from now. We have the Malacha of Ma'amer coming up tomorrow. That's the Malacha of gathering. After we cut down our wheat stalk, we have to gather it. That's Ma'amer. And then after we gather it, we thresh it. That's the Malacha of Dash. We'll obviously have to develop a better definition than threshing, but for now, by Dash, you thresh the grain, you separate the grain from the husks, and that is the classic Av Malacha of Dash. So the Ramban says like this, when it comes to the Malachas Dash, we're going to see that there's a big-time qualification of the Rabbanan of Ein Disha Ella Begidulei Karka. The Gemara says, Anayin Hei Amad Aleph, according to the Rabbanan, that Dash is limited to things that grow from the ground. It doesn't apply to other organisms like fish. The Gemara there says if you trap the Chilazon, then it's not subject to the Malacha of, if you squeeze out the blood, it's not subject to the Malacha of Dash, because it's not Gidulei Karka, according to the Rabbanan. So it says the Ramban, that's my president to Malachas Kotzer. Just like by Disha, there's this qualification that it needs to be Gedulei Karka, so too by Kotzer as well. Kotzer should also be limited to Gedulei Karka. Obviously, the Pharisees Yisrael and Rashi are not impressed, and they very much aware of the fact that Dash has this requirement, according to the Rabbanan, to grow from the ground, but they feel that by Kotzer, it doesn't have to grow from the ground. So we now need an analysis of the relationship between the Malach of Kotzer and the Malach of Dash. We need a very simple chakira to be managed with this machlokas. Should we carry over the rules of Dash to the Malach of Kotzer or not? What's the hesber in this machlokas? Yeah.
Is a cow gedulei
karka? that's a vector analysis of this issue. I hear. The Ramban obviously doesn't view a cow as gedulei karka, but. So anyone want to just give us a simple analysis of this machlokas? What's the shaila here? Yeah.
So I think Rashi and what's his name?
Tresterel.
Tresterel is going according to the that kotzer means disconnecting, and that Rabam is going.
And the Ramban
is reaping.
Yeah, but I'm saying according to the Ramban, why Ramban is saying we should carry over Dash. And Rashi is saying we shouldn't carry over Dash. What's that?
No, according to Rashi and Tiberius Sarah, I think it just means that Kotzer is disconnecting.
Yeah, okay, but what's the Ramban doing? The Ramban is saying we should carry over Dash.
The Ramban is saying that since Dash is limited to ground, it should be the same for.
So what's that machlok? So I just need to move because of time.
Since a cow gets its nourishment.
Okay, that's what Miles is saying. It's a backdoor analysis. But we're not assuming it's limited to cows. The Ramban is clearly saying that this is not called gedulei karka. You're trying to question the assumption that maybe it is called gedulei karka. That's one way of attacking this, but the Ramban clearly is not assuming that. Fine, so it's a very simple hakira. It goes like this. After Malacha Zareya, so we have our wheat stalk, our beautiful wheat stalk growing from the ground. And after that, we have three malachos. So we have the malacha of Kotzer, Ma'amer, and Dash. Kotzer, we're cutting it down, we are gathering it together, and we are doing Dash, where we are threshing it. The question is, what's the relationship between these three malachos of Kotzer, Ma'amer, and Dash? The Ramban is assuming that these three malachos are defined as a sequence. That halachically speaking, they're defined as a sequence. It's a sequence of three malachos, the malachos of harvesting and processing the wheat stalk. That's the shita of the Ramban. They're defined as a sequence. They're a group of three malachos. If you define it as a sequence, then it comes out that we have every right to compare and contrast these three malachas. There are three malachas in a sequence, and if one of the malachas has a certain rule, we have the right to carry it over to other malachos in the sequence. So Ramban concluded that if Dash has a certain regulation, it's limited to gedulei karka, well then the other malachas in the sequence as well should be impacted on that halacha, and Kotzer as well should have this limitation of gedulei karka. That is the shita of the Ramban. Moving on to the shita of Rashi, Rashi and the Tiferes Yisrael are quite simply holding that these are three independent malachos. We don't define them as a sequence. We have three independent malachos, Kotzer, Ma'amer, Dash. They all have their own rules. They have their own regulations. You can't compare and contrast. So that's the hesber in this machlokes. It's a very simple hesber, whether we define these three malachos as a sequence or if they're independent malachos. Now, we are going to use this hakira again in the future, so I recommend remembering it. But that's the basic hakira to analyze this machlokes. I guess we'll stop here because it's late. But just to give you the, if anyone wants to be my inviter into the Mar Makomos, so there's an interesting nafkamino in this machlokes that's in the Ramban from the Mar Makomos. If you look in the Ramban, the last Mar Makom, so he brings up a certain situation, which is a nafkamino between these Rishonim discussing whether Kotzer applies to Balei Chaim. Fine, so let's just summarize and then we'll conclude for the day. We had two qualifications to Malachas Kotzer. Qualification number one was the issue of Kavana. Rav Kana says you need to have Kavana in some way or form to violate Kotzer. Three Shittas, whether it's just Ansrich Lagufa, or all Malachas is integral, or just all forms of vegetation, or Dafka by wood. We had the Diak of the Nishmas Adam, and we had the analysis of that Machlokas, disconnecting, reaping, and the issue of a tree. And then part two, we had this Machlokas whether Kotzer applies to Balei Chaim. Ramban and Rifa say that it doesn't apply to Balei Chaim, whereas the Tiferes Yisrael and the Diak and Rashi that it does apply to Balei Chaim. And we pointed out, based on the Ramban's Raya, that the Hezber in this Machlokas is whether we define the three Malachas as a sequence or independent Malachos, and that'll impact on whether we should carry over the rules of Dash to the Malacha of Kotzer. Okay, so with that, we conclude the Malacha's Dash. Like I say, if you want to do the Halacha Lamaisa, it's in Shin Lam Vav. It all comes right out of everything we discussed. All the sugyas that we discussed Thursday and today are the Halacha Lamaisa, but it's really technical stuff like Atzitz Nakov and that kind of stuff. Bottom line is just don't cut things on Shabbos and you're good to go. Okay, Shkayach.